The global pandemic has thrown child immunization programs into chaos. Measles cases are up 80% this year. Other preventable diseases are also spreading fast. So what should be done to put childhood vaccinations back on track? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Derin Abugeda. For the past 2 years, the world has focused its attention on battling COVID-19. But that's disrupted prevention and treatment programs for other diseases. Millions of children have missed out on crucial vaccinations for preventable illnesses, including measles. The World Health Organization says cases jumped by nearly 80% in January and February compared to the same period last year. Somalia, Yemen, Afghanistan, Nigeria, and Ethiopia recorded the highest incidence of measles. The WHO blamed pandemic disruptions, unequal vaccine access, conflict, and diversion of resources to fight COVID-19.
Around the world, the pandemic has caused severe disruptions to routine immunization programs, putting millions of children's lives at risk and opening the door to fresh outbreaks of measles and polio.
Millions of children missed out on routine vaccines in 2020, including for diseases like polio and yellow fever. According to the World Health Organization and UNICEF, nearly 17 million children did not receive a single vaccine, while an estimated 22.7 million did not get the three jabs for diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. And inoculations against measles, a viral respiratory illness, also dropped, with about 22.3 million infants missing out. Let's now bring in our guest. Joining us from Peshawar is Dr. Nadeem Jan, who's a public health physician who also led Pakistan's polio vaccine program. In Johannesburg, Shabir Madhi, Dean of the Faculty of Health Sciences and Professor of Vaccinology at the University of the Witwatersrand. And in Bath in the UK, Dr. Bharat Pankania, who's a senior clinical lecturer at the University of Exeter's Medical School. Welcome to you all. Thanks so much for speaking to us on Inside Story. Dr. Bharat, over in the UK, so measles cases are up by 80% this year, and that's compared to last year. How big a setback is this for the treatment program and the fight against measles?
It's very disappointing because, as we all know, measles is a vaccine-preventable illness. And if we were to immunize more than 95% of our population with two vaccines, it provides lifelong immunity. So for a G7 nation like the United Kingdom to have sporadic outbreaks is a failure. It's a failure of public health interventions and measures. There is no cure for measles. The only prevention is by vaccines, and we should be vaccinating.
Okay, Shabir Madhi, what would you say was the biggest driver behind this statistic?
So unfortunately, it's really a global phenomena in that with the COVID-19 over the past 2 years, there's been disruptions of immunization services across the globe, including in high-income countries. Some countries have been able to catch up. Other countries, unfortunately, are still lagging behind. And this is a perfect storm insofar as it's almost going to replicate what probably transpired with the Ebola outbreak in the DRC in 2019 and earlier Ebola outbreaks in West Africa, where eventually the number of people, as an example, that died of measles was double the number of people that died from Ebola. Because when you have these disruptions of healthcare services and when child immunization programs are neglected whilst focusing on something else, this, especially in countries that are nowhere close to getting to 90 to 95% coverage even before the pandemic, those countries are especially susceptible to outbreaks of measles. And this is going to be something that we're going to need to deal with moving forward for the next few years, unfortunately.
Okay, important points you raise. We'll get to them in just a moment. But let me bring in Dr. Nadeem Jan to get the view from Peshawar in Pakistan. From what you've seen on the ground there, how has the pandemic impacted the immunization program?
Yeah, the pandemic has impacted the immunization program on the global scale. We witnessed in 2020, 220 million children were left unvaccinated by this disruption. And in 2021, we saw 120 million children missed by measles vaccination, of which Pakistan's share was 40 million. So Pakistan already shared the heaviest burden of the measles. It's at par with the Tanzania, India, Nigeria, and Yemen. We carry 65% of the burden of disease in the Emru region. And we had 70 different outbreaks in Pakistan last year that caused 51 deaths in children, and 17,000 cases erupted, which was double of the 2020. So we can see the scale of the impact of this disruption caused by the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, and also, Dr. Nadeem, just to add on to what you're saying, the UN is saying, this is according to UN data, that there have been 21 measles outbreaks in the last 12 months. Most of them, you've alluded to this as well, most of them in countries in Africa, as well as the Eastern Mediterranean, and certainly where you are in Pakistan. Why in these areas specifically?
Yeah, well, for main three reasons. First of all, these countries have got lower routine immunization coverage. Like Pakistan still has got 65% for MCV1 and 45% coverage for MCV2. So it's well beyond the targeted 95% coverage. And the second one, the health system was already strained. There were already issues in the health system, and the COVID pandemic, when it struck, it kept off, came with the storm. It impacted the whole health system. And so the resources, the minimum resources that were available at the health system, they were skewed towards the prevention and control of the COVID pandemic. So that resulted in escalation of the cases. And the third one is the population density in these countries, like the sub-Saharan countries, the Asian countries, we look at it, and especially in Pakistan case, the population density is very high. And that leads to overcrowding of the population. And so the measles outbreak spreads more spontaneously and fastly.
Okay, Dr. Bharat, I see you nodding along. I mean, tell us, do you think that these statistics and this number that the UN is putting out, 21 measles outbreaks over the past 12 months, could it actually be an underestimate as well?
I think so. Yes, very much so. So what hits the UN, UNO radar is the tip of the iceberg. So we do have sporadic outbreaks all over the world. And it is, as our colleague in Pakistan has said, it is multifactorial. But the big, big concern is, if this is a tip of the iceberg and the poorer nations are getting more and more outbreaks, it costs the healthcare system a lot of money. Once the child is ill, it costs a lot of money, and some children will die. On the other hand, if you were to spend some money immunizing, it costs pennies compared to thousands of pounds if a child becomes ill.
I wonder what you mean by tip of the iceberg.
So what I mean is that what we know is just a snapshot of what is going on in the world.
Right, but what do you, I suppose, let me just rephrase that question. What are you basing that on? Why do you say it's just the tip of the iceberg right now?
Okay, so I go by what has been previous practice, which is whenever surveillance authorities, be it the WHO or any other, we only get a small measure of the actual picture. That's what I'm referring to, is in actuality, not all cases are always reported and then reported upwards. Therefore, what we know is a snapshot of a much bigger picture elsewhere.
Okay, Shabir, the WHO is also saying that the disruptions to immunization services will be felt, quote, for decades to come. How so, and how do you read into that statement?
Yeah, absolutely. But just before I answer that, the other reason why we believe this is a complete underestimate is that it's not only immunization itself that has suffered over the course of the past 2 years, but even surveillance systems for vaccine-preventable diseases have really suffered. And consequently, especially in resource-constrained countries, what you would expect is that there would be an underestimation of the number of vaccine-preventable diseases as well as outbreaks that are transpiring. So I fully agree that this is very much an underestimate. There's probably many more than 21 outbreaks that's transpired. And especially in a continent such as Africa, where even before the COVID pandemic, less than 70% of children under the age of 5 had received at least one dose of measles vaccine. So certainly I do agree with that.
The WHO is saying this is going to be felt for decades to come. What impact are we going to see because of this?
So to some extent, paradoxically, we're already starting to see impacts in countries such as the United Kingdom. So there's another disease known as pneumococcal disease. which is caused by a bacteria known as pneumococcus. And it's a major cause of hospitalization and death due to pneumonia, especially in low and middle income countries. Interestingly, what happened in the United Kingdom is that although that illness sort of went down during the course of COVID-19, especially in children under the age of 15, in the past few months, they've seen an increase in pneumococcal disease, which goes beyond the rate that occurred before COVID-19. And what appears to be happening is that there seems to be a buildup of susceptibility in children, especially to these vaccine-preventable diseases, including children that are vaccinated. So that is just one example. So when we talk of under-immunization, it's not just about under-immunization against measles. There's a whole lot of other life-threatening diseases which children are vaccinated against, which causes pneumonia, which causes diarrheal disease, leading causes of death, even with vaccines. And we can expect those to start increasing because what's happening now is after the opening of societies, these pathogens are more likely to be transmitting, including to children. And if they're not adequately protected because of being not immunized or under-immunized, we can expect this to continue. So unless countries start planning on doing massive catch-up campaigns, including what we refer to as supplementary immunization activities, where you go out in the population to every house, literally, trying to vaccinate every child under the age of 5 against measles, as an example, unless those supplementary immunization activities gain traction immediately, we are going to experience a surge in vaccine-preventable diseases, which goes beyond the number of deaths which transpired before the onset of the COVID pandemic.
Right. Just one more for you, Shabir, before I move on to Dr. Nadima Peshawar. I mean, in certain countries in Africa, for example, there are issues of conflict. So to what extent do those issues compound the accessibility issues for vaccines and the programs that are meant to take place in the country?
Absolutely. And that obviously comes in the context of very resource constraints settings and fragile healthcare systems to start off with. So this sort of civil unrest, including movement of people across borders, refugees, unfortunately, in Africa especially, they're not that well taken care of when it comes to their needs in terms of healthcare, including immunization of children. And the type of conditions that those children and families eventually end up living in Africa is conducive to the spread of these vaccine-preventable diseases, as well as other diseases for which we don't have vaccines.
Dr. Nadim, let me ask you about vaccine hesitancy and skepticism, because it has been an issue, we know, with polio vaccines, for example, in Pakistan, where you are. So to what extent does skepticism actually work against so much of the progress that has been made when it comes to immunizations of children of certain diseases?
You rightly picked the demand side issue of this measles vaccination and polio vaccination. Yeah, we suffer greatly because of this vaccine hesitancy in parts of Pakistan. And in 2012 and 13, we had a full ban on vaccination that rendered 300,000 children unvaccinated because of these dogmas and rhetorics and misconceptions that were spreading in that society. Finally, we could come over that hesitancy by deploying this perception management strategy in the country and interacting more broadly and at the household level with the communities, with the parents, and with the opinion makers. But still, there are issues that remain in the hearts of the people. That means they are not yet fully convinced that vaccine works. And it's not only confined to Pakistan or Afghanistan or Somalia. We saw vaccine hesitancy in U.S. in 2018 and 2019, and there was a surge in measles cases. 1,200 cases erupted out of the blue, which was not the case in the years before in USA. USA had eliminated vaccine measles in 2001. So this anti-vaxxer campaign, this rhetoric, misconceptions, and self-created dogmas against the vaccination that increased the already existing doubts and skepticism in the hearts and minds of the people, especially their state of the society, which is more inclined towards these conspiracy theories. They are less educated, the literacy rate is poor, they are already suffering, and there is a skepticism towards the public health facilities, the public health system. So by and large, it contributed towards the increasing that skepticism and vaccine hesitancy in the communities. But you know, if we pin down now in Pakistan, we do encounter refusals, but they are very low compared to the previous years, that the year 2019 and before, where we saw in.
So would you say that vaccine hesitancy is one of the main drivers behind the measles outbreaks, or not so much this time around, Dr. Nadim?
It did it did contribute to, not only to measles outburst and outbreak, but to others also, like in the case of polio. We see hesitancy to other vaccines as well. So there is a mindset already working against the vaccines, and we need to counteract that mindset by engaging them, by persuading them, and going out of the box. So out of the box strategies will work. Not those strategies which have been in practice since ages, and the stereotype mentality and the stereotype strategies that wouldn't work anymore. We need to innovate. We need to strategize, and we need to engage thoroughly those communities and pinpoint those communities which are still the resisting forces to the vaccination, why they are resistant, where they reside, what are their limitations.
I'd like to ask you about the innovation and the strategy in a moment. But first, let me ask Dr. Bharat about this issue of vaccine hesitancy, because the World Health Organization named it as one of the 10 greatest health threats of 2019. So just weigh in on this conversation and tell us whether, from what you've seen, vaccine hesitancy and skepticism has played an issue in the resurgence of the measles outbreak.
Yes, indeed. In the high-income countries, United Kingdom, European Union, United States, we have seen the consequences of vaccine hesitancy. Remember, about 1 million Americans have died from COVID, and a lot of that has been due to mismanagement and not applying simple measures like getting immunized in time. So with respect to vaccine hesitancy, what can we do? Well, it is important upon the government. It starts right at the top, and they have to have these programs of inform, advise, educate, and at the same time, bring into control. We have social media platforms which are spreading lies, spreading misinformation, and they mustn't be allowed to just carry on under the guise of, well, it is free speech. This so-called free speech harms people, people die. And I think it is incumbent upon national governments to say to these social media platforms and some media outlets as well, this is wrong, this is incorrect, we're not allowing you to broadcast it.
Dr. Bharat, how does the resurgence of measles allow for other preventable diseases to find their way into the population? Does that happen?
Yes. So with respect to not taking up measles vaccines, it is a clear proxy indicator that you are also, as my colleague has said about pneumococcus, not taking up other vaccines. And this is very concerning. So we have pneumococcus, we have meningitis, we have diphtheria, and we have measles, mumps, rubella, and the others. They are all very serious illnesses. People die. And when they are ill, it costs a lot of money to make you better. And on the other hand, if we were to immunize, it protects you, and often it protects you for life.
Okay, Shabir Madhi, I mean, how worried are you that other outbreaks of diseases can be expected in the short to medium term?
Very much so. But just in terms of the question of vaccine hesitancy.
Right.
So in Africa, many of the outbreaks that we're experiencing is more an issue of vaccine access, because even though there was a decrease in vaccine uptake during the COVID pandemic, that percentage change was relatively modest compared to what occurred as an example in Southeast Asia. So it's more an issue of vaccine access. But at the same time, with the type of hype and misinformation that's gone around COVID-19, certainly moving forward, one of the repercussions of that potentially is that parents are going to now become hesitant to something which they previously did almost blindly, and that is getting their children vaccinated. So this vaccine hesitancy certainly is going to permeate into the childhood immunization program and have a ripple effect as a consequence of the misinformation around COVID-19. With regard to the impact that measles, uncontrolled measles, has on other vaccine-preventable diseases, so as an example, with measles, the majority of children that die as a consequence of a superimposed bacterial infection, including pneumococcus. Yes. And now when you've got children that are susceptible to measles as well as susceptible to these other vaccine-preventable diseases for which they've been under-immunized, again, it unfortunately lends itself to a much higher case fatality rate. A greater percentage of the children that are getting infected with measles will now go on to die if they're not adequately protected against those other vaccine-preventable diseases also because of under-immunization. So there's massive amount of interaction between measles and many other bacteria and viruses, especially bacteria, which results in a complication that eventually causes the vast majority of the children that do die end up with these superimposed bacterial infections.
Okay, and over to Peshawar and Dr. Nadeem Jhan. You were mentioning a few minutes ago that new strategies need to be adopted in order to increase the inoculation rates. Just talk to us a little bit about more and how health systems need to reorient their systems to get back on track. And this very important point that Shabir Madhi raised from Johannesburg about vaccine equality.
So I'll speak on both aspects of this vaccination, both the demand and the supply side. You know, in the demand side, first of all, we can go for an integrated approach, a synergistic approach towards vaccination. Like vaccination in silo may not give that benefits which in vaccination with, in integrated with other interventions can provide. And that can also provide a boost to the public confidence. As I mentioned earlier, that the public at large has got lower confidence on public health system. So we need to build that public confidence on vaccination and health services. And that can be done by integrating measles vaccination, polio vaccination with other public health interventions, nutrition, wash, and other immunization services, maternal, newborn, child health services. So if they can be packaged around and then provided it right at the doorstep of the people, then it would increase the appetite of the people and also with the buying in of the people would be enhanced. And that would also impact the demand side of the vaccination. That's how we can increase that demand of the people and the trust of the people on vaccination. Then secondly, the innovation in this demand side interventions, our colleagues talked about this social media platform, no doubt about it. This was the main threat that we encountered. A lot of information, fake news, and fake data spreads around social media platforms unchecked, and that contribute towards increasing the critical mass of refusals and resistant forces of vaccination. So that we need to check through the legislation at the global level as right. well as at legislation and regulation at the country level as well. Then another link and another ingredient
just very
of
briefly, if
innovation.
You might.
Just 1 minute. So we can pinpoint the areas of refusal. Where is this refusal? Why is this refusal? And how we can engage and counteract that refusal and risk this for the long term so that we win the minds and hearts of the people, not for one time, but for long years and for all years to come.
Okay, so we just have about a minute and a half left or so. So allow me to interrupt and bring in Dr. Bharat to tell us what's at stake for these children because of the postponed inoculation campaigns, whether it's measles or the other communicable diseases.
There are short-term and unfortunately and tragically long-term consequences. So the short-term is you will be ill. The long-term is after you have been ill and recovered, hopefully, you are still left vulnerable. And if you are still left vulnerable and you're not fully covered with other vaccines, you will get these infections like the pneumococci, like the meningitis. And furthermore, when you are ill, you underperform in your school. So the long-term consequences are one, the acute illness, vulnerable to other illnesses, and then poor attainment in school and education. And then when you have poor attainment in school and education, unfortunately, you also go on to be economically less, deliver less financially when you could have attained a lot more if only you had not been ill for a prolonged period when you were a school child.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there on that note. Thank you so much for joining me on this show. Dr. Nadeem Jhan, Shabir Madhi, and Dr. Bharat Pankhania, we appreciate your time. Thank you for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. You can also go to our Facebook page for further discussion. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. Join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is AJInsideStory. For myself and the whole team right here in Doha, thanks very much for watching and bye-bye for now.